This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're live in the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. Auto Punch. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day, 855-212-4CBS, 4227. This game preview brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. If your weekends are reserved for football, then you should be watching the games at B-Dubs, where all the fans are there for the same reason, to watch sports. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. There's two great games tomorrow night running in concert with one another, and I love both of them, so I'm going to have my family leave the house so I can watch all the games and swear at a high decibel level. USC and Notre Dame in South Bend on NBC, and then on ABC, Michigan and Penn State. Two great games. Can Sam Darnold take the Trojans on the road at 6-1 and beat the 5-1 Irish in front of touchdown Jesus? It's that simple. Wimbush is going to be able to go. He's fine. His foot. It's rock and roll time. Notre Dame's got a great running game. Let's see if USC can stop the run. Michigan's defense, the key at Happy Valley. It'll be miserable valley for them, though, against Barkley if he runs wild on them. And, of course, Penn State 6-0. Michigan somehow 5-1. It doesn't seem like it, though, does it, that they're only a one-loss team? They lose this one, they can say goodbye to a playoff for sure. So they got their hands tied tomorrow night on the road. A huge game for Harbaugh. People are going to start blaming him. He can't win these big games, believe me, you, if he doesn't come through in the clutch. This game preview brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports. The injury report is brought to you by the Salt Institute. Let's take a look at the latest injuries. Famous Jameis will be able to go on Sunday. Bridgewater's back at practice. He's not ready to go. Andrew Luck has been shut down again. So Bradford is out as well. They're going to go without him again this week. So Luke Kuechly's out with a concussion. And they also have other injuries. CP3 looking like a month that he's going to be out. And Carver Hyde, that pretty much wrap up some of the big injuries. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers on IR after he had surgery. And, of course, Gordon Hayward had the broken tibia and the fracture of the leg and the dislocated ankle. So he had surgery as well this week. Lots of injuries, I'll tell you that much. Salt is more than the perfect seasoning. It's a perfect water softener. And good thing, because soft water can save you money. It extends the life of your appliances and reduces your electric bill. Everything's better with a little salt. See why at alittlesalt.org. Of course, Case Keenum is the guy that I was thinking of that'll be playing instead of Bradford, because Bradford's softy. Astros now 6-1. They're blowing out the Yankees in the eighth inning. This game's over. Get ready for game seven on Saturday night. Jamie Eisenberg is here from CBSSports.com. As I mentioned earlier, he has the number one rated shows on this network on Saturday, and also the number one rated show on the network on Sunday. Saturday night at 10, Sunday morning at 11, Mimosa Hour. His fantasy show is highly rated. The reviews are in, red carpet treatment. A lot of fans love it because Jamie helps people with their crappy fantasy lineups. If you suck at fantasy, now's your chance every Friday night to talk to Jamie and fix your lineup or make that trade you've been desperate to pull off with the friends that you hate at this time of year. How you doing, Jamie?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm turning the corner. You ready to dance?
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. The kickoff of the first half. We do two halves here, which is two segments. Trey and Queens, bring it.
Yes, guys. Full point PPR. I need to start two wide receivers. Willie Snead, Josh Doctson, Devontae Parker, Juju Smith, and Benny Fowler III.
I think your best bet are the first two guys, because it doesn't seem like Parker's going to play. And Fowler's a little bit of a wild card. Now, keep an eye on Willie Snead's status just because he's banged up still, but I expect him to play. And slot receivers have had a lot of success against the Packers. Doxson, I hope this is the week that they turn him loose a little bit, you know, give him more targets, because I think if that happens, he could be great. So those are your two best guys.
There you go, Trey. And I'm going to do everyone a favor here, Carver High. Jamie has mentioned that he's doing great, and I'd say I'm fair to Midland. So now that we know how everyone's doing, don't ask us how we're doing. So we can just keep banging out fantasy calls. Steve in Fairfax, Virginia, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Half point PPR, should I start Josh Doxson or Sterling Shepard?
I think, you know, if Shepard's 100%, he's probably your best bet. You know, the one concern would be is I don't know for sure if Jeremy Lane's going to return for the Seahawks, but, you know, Richard Sherman's going to be out there. And, you know, Eli Manning, I think, is going to struggle. So if you want the high upside play, I'd say go Doxson. If you want the safe route, you know, Shepard, if he plays, then he's probably going to catch more passes.
There you go, Steve. Have a lousy weekend. I just noticed Carver High just got a report in on the hotline, just calling now. The reviews are in. It appears that Jamie Eisenberg has now as well passed Jesus as the most popular person on the face of the earth. A lot of people, you see Jesus stickers everywhere on cars and everything. Now I'm seeing Jamie Eisenberg rules stickers in my neighborhood. I was driving near Manhattan today and I saw Jamie Eisenberg rules, and then it said on CBS SR. I didn't even know they made those stickers. Cash in Detroit on XYT.
Hey, fellas, non-PPR. I got Gillislee. I picked up Deion Lewis, and I also have John Brown. I need two of those to fill a flex and a running back.
Filibuster.
I think, you know, with this Gillislee being touchdown or bust at this point, Lewis is probably going to get as much work, if not more, after Gillislee had the fumble last week. So Gillislee is probably the odd man out here. So Lewis and John Brown, you know, John Brown, 18 targets the last three games. He's getting more involved. And last year against the Rams, he had a game with 10 catches for 140-plus yards. So hopefully that happens again.
There you go, Cash. I like that name, Cash, like cash flow. That's what happens when you use my picks on the weekend. Byron in Lipstick City, you're on CBS Sports Radio with Jamie.
Hey, what's up, guys? I have Tevin Coleman and Doug Martin as my number two in flex. If DeMarco Murray doesn't play, who will you bench to start Derrick Henry?
I think I'd probably bench Coleman. You know, I'm hoping for a couple reasons that DeMarco Murray sits and Derrick Henry plays. I think it would be a little bit more fun, you know, just to get one of the guys out there as opposed to both. As a DeMarco Murray owner, I'd probably want to see him sit because this hamstring injury could get worse. They have their bye next week. So if Derrick Henry's the guy and getting, you know, 15 to 20 carries against the Browns, I know the Browns' run defense has been good, but it could be a lot of fun to see him out there and doing some damage.
All right, Byron, you're the man. Antoine in San Francisco off KBR, the sports leader.
What's going on, fellas? I got running back Wells again, Jamie. I need four names I'm going to give you. I need two of these guys. I got Coleman, Thompson. You kind of just answered the Gillislee thing with that last guy. And then I have Chris Ivory as well.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, Coleman and Thompson would be the two guys as of now. If Leonard Fournette is out, I'd probably do the same thing. I probably would bench Coleman. Thompson's just been ridiculous. You know, he's really the best receiver for the Redskins right now. And you know, he had a 57-yard day and a touchdown against the Eagles the first time these two teams met. But he's just been on fire. And so just given, you know, Coleman still being in the backup role, if I read the starter for Fournette, then those are your two guys.
There you go, Antoine. 855-212-4227. Why aren't you on the line right now admitting that you suck at running your fantasy team and letting Jamie handle it for you to make you look good this weekend and win you some cash? Greg in Houston on 610.
Hey, fellas. Happy belated birthday, Jamie.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Quarterback question. My quarterback is Cam Newton. As a backup, I've been holding on to Andrew Luck. Should I drop Andrew Luck and pick up Tyrod Taylor? Because Andrew Luck and Cam have the same bye week, and we don't even know if he's going to be back. But at this point, would you do that?
100%. You know, especially if I think I know correctly, the next four games, I don't know if that falls into week 11 or not, but the next four games for Tyrod Taylor are great. He's been very good at home. Three of his next four are at home. And like you said, we don't know when Andrew Luck's going to come back. So do yourself the favor and, you know, get rid of that headache. You know, maybe you still have a chance to get him back, you know, if we get word that Luck's going to play. But I think Cam's the guy the rest of the way, and Tyrod's certainly a great backup slash fill-in option.
There you go, Gregor. Have an alcoholic-filled weekend. Corey, in Ohio, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, guys, got a cool question. Which quarterback do I use, Carson Wentz or Cam Newton?
You know, I really think both guys have a good opportunity this week, but I think Wentz's ceiling is higher just given his matchup, especially if both Josh Norman and Breshad Breeland do not play for the Redskins. We'll find out that answer tomorrow when the final injury report comes out. But my guess would be is that one or both don't play. So Wentz, you know, had a 22-point day, I believe, in that week one performance, over 20 points for sure. And I think just the way that he's playing right now, his matchup is a little bit better. The Bears have played really well at home, and, you know, Cam, I think will be okay. But I think, just again, the ceiling's higher for Wentz.
There you go, Corey. Jamie Eisenberg on. Don't forget his show's on Saturday night at 10, Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern. Both times, 10 p.m. Saturday, 11 a.m. on Sunday morning before Pain Day starts at 1 Eastern. Scott in Baltimore, you're next with Jamie Eisenberg.
Hey, Scott. Hey, Jamie. How you doing tonight?
Great.
Question for you. I have quite a few running backs, so I have a deep bench. Would you drop Bilal Powell to pick up a flyer on Darren McFadden? If I wait for waivers, I won't get him because I'm not in the top five waiver claim.
I think so. You know, I mean, Bilal Powell is, when he gets an opportunity to be the guy there, he's going to be fine. But Forte's healthy. Elijah McGuire's going to get work. You know, it's going to be crowded. If McFadden, you know, does get the chance to start for as suspended Ezekiel Elliott, that's the guy I think that you certainly want to have on your roster.
There you go, Scotty. JR in Vegas on 1140 in Cincinnati to make it a hub.
We'll see what the D, Scotty. I need a running back for flex, Chris Ivory or LeGarrette Blount, and then I have to keep two of these three receivers long term: Paul Richardson, Javon Kearse, or Randall Cobb.
Well, I think, you know, just given the scenario, you know, for none of these guys are great keeper options moving forward, but for this particular season, I would probably hold on to Kearse and Cobb. You know, if you do have to make a decision to cut somebody, you're probably going to end up cutting. I guess I'd cut Richardson. You know, it's just one of those situations where I don't know if he'll ever turn into like a superstar. And then I think for this week, you know, you just have to keep an eye on the Leonard Fournette situation. If Fournette's out, it's Ivory. If Fournette is in, then it's Blount.
So just for that guy in Vegas and everybody in Vegas, we'll be there January 29th through the Sunday Super Bowl live. Five shows at the D. That's going to be huge again. Carver High already doing calisthenics, preparing for the trip back to the desert. 855-212-4227. We're going to come back with the second half of your calls with Jamie. Fantasy freaks, it's time to call because you are terrible and Jamie is a rock star. You are terrible. Jamie is a rock star. I don't need to repeat it again, do I? Get your lineup straight right now on the bench. 855-212-4CBS.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, second half kickoff with Jamie Eisenberg. He's simply the best. His fantasy world that he lives in is just beyond the realm of anything you can admit or know in your miserable life. Your picks, your rosters, your trades that you make, they're desperate. They're feeble. What you need is someone like Jamie running things for you so that you can win and humiliate your friends. Here's Jordan in Albany. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Jamie, I got a PPR league. I need a flex, and I need a running back. I have Buck Allen, Deshaun Jackson, Frank Gore, Theo Riddick, Alex Collins, and Deion Lewis. And I also want to know if you would drop Jeremy Maclin for Teddy Bridgewater. I only have Carson Wentz on my roster.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to drop Maclin for him yet. I know Maclin struggled in the blade, but I don't even know when Bridgewater will play. So no, I don't know if that's the move you want to make. And I think for this week, you probably want to go with Buck Allen and Deion Lewis. I do think that we'll see Buck Allen play better than Alex Collins this week, and then Deion Lewis, you know, hopefully gets a little bit more opportunities after the way he's played the last couple weeks and with Gillespie struggle.
All right, Jordan, be careful. Your girlfriend's cheating on you. Derek in Green Bay, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Good evening, guys. How's it going?
Miserable now.
I didn't hear that, man. But I got a couple of quick questions. My first question is a quarterback question. I have either Kirk Cousins or Matt Ryan, and I'm kind of undecided or torn on who to start. And then my question at running back, I need two of the five. I have Todd Gurley, which I think is an obvious. Derrick Henry, Jerick McKinnon, Andre Ellington, or Aaron Jones from Green Bay. And of those five, do you think one of them could also be a flex, possibly?
Well, I think your quarterback decision, yes, it's somewhat tough because Ryan's been so bad, but he has the dream matchup on the table because the Patriots have been awful against every quarterback that they've faced so far this year, and Ryan is definitely overdue. So he's your quarterback. I would go with Gurley and McKinnon, and yes, Derrick Henry could be an amazing flex if DeMarco Murray's out. So you just have to keep an eye on that and then decide who you're comparing him to, but Henry would have a ton of upside if he's starting.
There you go, Derek. Kenny in Greenville, South Carolina. You're on with Jamie Eisenberg.
PPR league, flex position, Latavius Murray, Ty Montgomery, or Danny Amendola?
I think, you know, just with Amendola, he's interesting because he had a good game against the Falcons in the Super Bowl, and slot receivers of late have had a nice success rate against the Falcons. So I would tend to lean toward Amendola here. I you know, he's been hit or miss, and certainly in standard leagues, a little bit different than PPR, but I think this is going to be one of the better games we'll see maybe all season if the Falcons offense does show up as expected.
All righty, Kenny. Have a good weekend. Roberto in Florida, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, guys. I pretty much screwed the pooch by not playing Tyreek Hill, and I got to roll with Landry, and I know he's just a PPR monster, but do I play him at the number two next to A.J. Green with another scenario there, which I'm pretty much stuck with the Pittsburgh part against A.J. Green? And, yeah, just with that, and then just my flex, what is it that you feel about Marlon Mack and with the Colts? I mean, Pagano's all over the place. He's sending mixed signals and he's screwing. He's messing with my life.
Well, don't let the last thing you should let happen is Chuck Pagano mess with your life. I think with Marlon Mack, you know, he's going to get a boost here moving forward because Robert Turbin's now out for the season. So it goes from a three-headed situation to a two-headed situation, and Mack, you know, will hopefully start to see his touches go up. And so far, every game this season where he's had 10 or more touches, he's had two of his best games, so that's something you want to, you know, kind of hang your hat on a little bit. Landry should be fine. You know, Devontae Parker's not going to play the last two games that Parker's either left or missed. Oh yeah, you can't play T.Y. Hilton against those two corners for Jacksonville. Those guys are great.
So I think actually, Roberto, that you're going to last longer than Chuck Pagano anyway. So don't do anything stupid. Here we go, Rick in Boston on the Hub. You're on with Jamie Eisenberg.
Hey, guys. I got Carson Palmer and Winston on my roster. I wonder if I play one of them or I could go to the waiver wire and get Taylor or, Hundley from Green Bay. What do you think?
It's not a bad idea to get Taylor. I think Palmer and Taylor are very similar in this week because Palmer, tough matchup, but we've seen the Rams give up some production to quarterbacks. And according to my colleague, Dave Richard, Palmer has a good track record against Wade Phillips. I have not looked that up myself, but I'm going to believe Dave on that. But Taylor, you know, he's getting his receiving core somewhat healthy with Jordan Matthews coming back. He's off a bye. He's at home. Buccaneers are not very good. I think there's a higher ceiling for Taylor, but, you know, it's always risky to trust a guy that doesn't have a lot of weapons around him.
There you go. So I'm watching the Lakers. They're down 5 to the Suns. A ball has 9-5-5. There's your Lonzo update everybody wanted. Dana in Maine, you're on with Jamie Eisenberg on CBS Sports Radio.
Jamie, half PPR. I need a wide receiver and a flex out of Devontae Adams, John Brown, and Orleans Darkwa, and then a defense out of the Saints or Pittsburgh.
I've gone back and forth with the defensive rankings with those two teams in particular. I just think with the Steelers at home, they've done such a nice job so far this season. You know, the Saints, it's just a wild card with them going on the road to face Hundley because we just don't know how Hundley's going to play. So they're both in my top 10, but the Steelers are ranked higher, so that's what I would do. And then I'd play both receivers. I think Darkwa has been amazing the last two games, but Seattle off a bye, they're going to focus on stopping the run, you know, with the limited receivers for the Giants.
There you go. Dana White calling in from Maine this evening. Anthony in Rhode Island.
Hey, how's it going? I got good running backs, Adrian Peterson, Ezekiel Elliott, Fournette, Davante Adams, and Sanu at wide receiver. I was wondering if I should play Robert Woods on the Rams, put in Tyrell Williams, or William Snead.
I like the way you call him Fournette there. I'd go with Robert Woods this week. You know, I think you're looking at a scenario of every secondary receiver against the Cardinals has had success this season, or at least, you know, for the most part, because you stay away from Patrick Peterson. He's probably going to line up on Sammy Watkins just based on talent. And, you know, even though they're making the switch to get Justin Bethel out of their lineup, Jermon Williams, I don't know if it's such a significant upgrade. So Robert Woods should have an opportunity for a big day.
All right, Steve in Boston, two left here. You're on with Jamie.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How's it going? I'm stuck on two wide receivers. My waiver wire is pretty much crap. I have Sammy Watkins and Marquise Lee.
Well, if those are the two guys you're choosing from, I think you got to go Marquise Lee. You know, he's, I believe it's three of his last four or four of his last five. He's been over 60 yards receiving. That's better than Sammy Watkins has been in all but one game this year. So, again, with the matchup on the table of Patrick Peterson, I can't trust Sammy Watkins this week. So go with Marquise Lee. And the last time he faced the Colts, he had a 80-yard receiving day in Week 17 last year.
All right, Steve, there you go, buddy. Have a good weekend. Josh in Alabama, your last on with Jamie.
Hey, Jamie, I've got a situation between Jimmy Graham or Evan Ingram. And then I've also got Melvin Gordon or McKinnon.
You know, I think McKinnon just has a little bit of a higher ceiling this week. You know, Gordon scored a receiving touchdown against the Broncos, and it's very hard to bench him. But even though the Ravens are getting back Brandon Williams, which will help their run defense, I just think the way McKinnon's played the last couple weeks, he's sort of vaulted himself into that must-start category as well, where Gordon has typically been. So if you feel comfortable doing that, that's the move that I would make. And then I love Jimmy Graham's situation this week. The Giants are among the worst teams at defending tight ends. I believe they're going to have a touchdown to a tight end in every game this year. So you're looking at, you know, Jimmy Graham. This is a good week for him to have a big bounce-back performance.
All right, there you go. Don't forget to tune in Saturday night on the network for 10 p.m. Jamie's show, and then Sunday morning at 11 a.m. again, both live, fantasy blowout. You can't lose. You're better served listening and getting your rosters right for the weekend. Jamie, great job tonight. Enjoy the games this weekend. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday.
You got it, man. Take care. Have a good weekend.
There he is, Jamie Eisenberg. He likes the Florida Gators, like many losers I know. It's all about the Canes, baby. Can't live in Miami and not love the Canes. What's wrong with you, son?
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
So who hits more winners than me? PharrellOnTheBench.com rules. No one hits more winners. You know it. I know it. We all know it. You hear fans calling every night, Pharrell, all you do is make me money. Because that's what we do. And again tonight, I've been hitting games left and right. And again tonight, another LCS moneymaker as I took Houston. Of the ALCS and NLCS, only one game wrong the entire series, both series. The game the Cubs won to stave off elimination was the one I got wrong. Got every other game right, including tonight with Verlander. So you got to sign up for PharrellOnTheBench.com. You get every college football money line and spread. I rank them. So in the top 25 games, I'll do a top 10 there. And in the rest of the games on the board, I'll do a top 10 there as well. So I do 20 of my favorite plays, but I do every game on the board. And then I do every pro game money line and spread. And I rank my favorite six plays there. PharrellOnTheBench.com is where it's at. You get everything. Every game, every pick, every sport, every day. Baseball through the World Series, boxing and MMA, hockey nightly, pro hoops nightly, college hoops is coming. Daily fantasy rosters, only $35 a month. It's ridiculous for the return. I mean, you'll make that back the first day, and then you'll make money for 30 days. Sign up now. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Everybody loves it. They just won't admit it. All right, so 855-212-4227. Couple things. The Lakers are up 85-83 on the Suns, And I did mention what Ball was doing. He's actually doing well tonight, I think. I'm watching the game as we speak. Now he's got 16 points, 7 rebounds, and 6 dimes. He's on his way to a triple-double. If he just keeps playing, if they let him play, you know, the rest of the way in the fourth, he'll get it, I would think. He's out there now, and he's making them go. He brought them back, I think, in this game. They were down 3 at the half. He's the reason they're winning. He's actually hitting. He's 6 of 15 from the floor, 3 three-pointers, 1 of 2 from the line. And as I mentioned, he's done some other things, too, including a steal. He looks good to me tonight, especially after as bad as he looked last night. Now, it was certainly entertaining. What happened last night was he basically got worked over by Patrick Beverley. And as you know, what happened was, at one point, I think after the game, he called him a, quote, weak-ass mother Forreller, end quote. And then during the game, or afterwards when he did interviews, he said, I told him after the game, due to all the riffraff his dad brings, he's going to get a lot of people coming at him. So I brought this up 100 times on this show, right? Like, I'm not making this stuff up. There are guys, Carver High, in the league, both that play, that coach, that broadcast, or that cover it, or that do sports talk on TV and radio, that actually hate this guy's guts. And they want to hurt this kid because of it. I'm telling you, there are dudes that hate his guts just because of his dad. Now, no one wants to admit that. I get all these clowns calling me up all the time, telling me how he's a genius. That may be so. Fair enough. He's created this great empire for his kids to play basketball. They're all going to have bright futures. He's done a good job as an adult, right? As a father, making this brand, you know, building it and turning it into something huge and getting the attention he gets. But my point is that there are people that hate his guts dead. I mean, that just literally, and you got a guy right after the game saying, we're coming after you because of your dad. So his father is his problem, not his game. Chris, there's nothing wrong with his game. It's his dad.
Well, I mean, you don't win the MVP of the league, of the summer league, if you can't play at all. I mean, clearly that's not a direct indication of how he's going to do. But I think I don't think anyone thought that even though he only scored 3 points last night, that that's what you're going to get from Lonzo Ball. I think we're all smarter than that.
I mean, we know he can fill it up, but now he's playing against starters and against veterans, and Beverley worked him over. But are you surprised that a guy would go on record right after the game saying, I did that to you because of your dad?
No, and especially not a guy like Beverley who had to play overseas, from what I understand, a guy that had to work his way up to the league to first team all defense last year. That's the type of guy who's going to want to work you over extra hard.
He kept yelling that too, first team, all night when he was guarding him. Because he plays some serious defense, and that kid had no chance against him last night. But I got to tell you, I've always said I like his game. I always said I like watching the kid play. I also said I think he's a good kid. So I'm on record that I like watching him play. So here's the deal. I mean, this guy tonight, you have to admit, after having that crappy 3-point game, which his stupid-ass father went on TV bragging about how great he was terrible. He was flat-out terrible. But to turn it around tonight, the very next night, on a back-to-back, and to get on a plane and fly to Phoenix, and to put up this kind of a game, Carver High, you got to admit, it's impressive.
No, it's a good job by him, and we said that last night. You know, they should have some better luck playing Phoenix, because Phoenix is terrible. So, it's going to be ups and downs for the kid. When he plays better competition, it could be tough. He's not going to face Patrick Beverley every night, and not that Patrick Beverley is, you know, one of the top 10 players in the game, but he's going to face tough competition, and he's going to face nights like tonight against the Suns.
First team all defense last year.
I know. I'm
the
just
guy
saying,
can flat out play defense.
I know.
That's all he does.
He's not going to see guys like that every night. So he's going to have opportunities to do big things. That team's got to grow together. They got a lot of young guys, and they will, but Phoenix is so bad. It's just, you know, it's good to see him put something up against them.
I still think this game's going to come down to the wire. They're up 91-83, but Phoenix isn't done in this game. I'd be surprised if they don't get back in this game. I don't think the Lakers are that good. Brandon Ingram's got 24 in that game tonight. He's having a hell of a game. Anyway, I'm watching, and I'm impressed with what he's doing tonight. Mike in Hilton Head, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Scott, for real, how you doing?
Yo, Mike, what up, kid?
Everything is great. Hey, Scott, for real, big game tomorrow. Do you think, you know, that they have a chance to beat USC?
Of course they do. They're at home. They're good. They have a great running game. I like them up front. They're tough. I've said this with Carver High on a number of occasions. They played well against Georgia. They just lost to them. It is what it is. The game was, 20-19, something like that? So, yeah. I mean, the only game that they lost was a really good game against a really good team. Carver High, you have to believe in this Irish team that they can play with anybody.
I believe in them a lot more now than I did at the beginning of the year. I thought it was going to be another 7-5, 6-6 type year. I don't think the defense is still very good. They run the ball a lot better than I thought they were going to. I think they could be in a little bit of trouble tomorrow night. And I think they're going to still win a couple games. Like you said, that schedule is tough these last six games. And if they go 4-2, something like that, I'll be happy with it.
There you go, Mike. I think, obviously, it's high risk to take USC. I don't know about them on the road. I saw them lose at Washington State. Chris, what do you think of USC's chances in South Bend?
I don't think Notre Dame has much of a defense. I think Sam Darnold goes 30 for 40, 300 yards, three touchdowns, easy.
There you go. Easy, huh? He's got easy work of Notre Dame. How can you not have a defense when you're 5-1?
I mean, I think you got to look at the way they win the games. It's not about winning the games. It's about how you win the games. I think the committee looks at that, too, when they decide these playoff teams. They look at how you win the games.
Well, I think Notre Dame's look better than that. I don't think they're... Carver High, do you buy that they don't have a defense?
The defense is better than I thought they were going to be this year, but they're still not, you know, top 10 caliber. I think they could have some problems tomorrow night. I don't know about the whole 30 for 40 for 350 yard stuff, but I think that they're going to have, they could have some problems tomorrow.
Well, I like what I'm seeing. Look, if you look at some of their games, they blew out BC, and I know BC's terrible, but they've had upset wins this year that shocked everybody.
They ran for like 400 or 500 yards in that game. I mean, and that was a game for a half, that BC game.
They kicked Michigan State's ass. Michigan State kicked Michigan's ass.
They destroyed Michigan State.
Then they had an easy game with Miami of Ohio. I'm not going to give that credit. They blew out North Carolina, and North Carolina stinks. I'll give you that. Temple, that's too easy. So the only game that they got challenged in really was the Georgia game, and they lost it. But Georgia's unbeaten, and they're, you know, there's people talking about Georgia playing, obviously, for the SEC championship and perhaps the playoff. So the Astros have announced that Charlie the Fisherman Morton will throw tomorrow night Game 7 against CC Sofaccia. In the closing game, all or nothing, Game 7 for all the marbles to go to the World Series to face the Dodgers. Carver High, what do you think of Charlie Morton, who the Yankees lit up?
They hammered him in Game 3 in the Bronx. I don't know. McCullers pitched so good against him. I know it was going to be on 3 days rest. You have Keuchel there also as a fallback. You know he's going to show up for two or three innings tomorrow. I guess they can go by the same theory. If they start Morton and he gets into trouble, they have McCullers and Keuchel.
So I'm interested in that game for sure. I'm going to be watching that game. 95-85 Lakers up. So I just wanted to give you an idea of some of the other games that are going on. I know we'll do an update at the top of the hour, but the Kings were winners over the Mavericks, 93-88. George Hill had 21. T-Wolves beat the Jazz by 3. Cat had 20-10. Nets by 5 over the Magic. Damari Carroll at 17-8-2. Wizards by 4 of the Pistons. Otto Porter at 28-9-3. Celtics by 10 over the Sixers. Kyrie with 21-6-4. Blazers win over Indy, 114-96. CJ McCollum, after sitting on the bench, came out in his first game and had 28-7-1. Hornets 109-91 over the Hawks. Kemba had 26. Cavs blow out the Bucks 116-97. LeBron 24-5-8. and the Lakers up 9 now on the Suns, and the Warriors, who seldom come out to play, are up in this game over the Pelicans with just under 2 minutes to go, 121-116. So they're hanging on by 5 right now. In a good game in New Orleans off Bourbon Street. I'm watching it. So, again, was that Ball? Did you see that? Was that alley-oop from Ball? I mean, he's really making some nice passes.
I turned him off. I have the Colorado State-New Mexico game on in here.
He's got 16-7-7. Oh, so you've gone football, and that game was actually good.
Colorado State's about to go in, and they are in.
In the end zone, Colorado State.
They're going to be up 21-10 here going into the half.
On New Mexico.
Yes.
21-10 at the half, so Colorado State will win that game, it would appear to me. They're playing at New Mexico, correct?
Yes, the game is in New Mexico.
Good evening, Albuquerque. So there's 4 games tonight in college football, believe it or not. And one of them was easy money. Marshall, 38-10 over Middle Tennessee. Western Kentucky by 4 over Old Dominion, 35-31. And then Air Force, Nevada. How about Air Force? They were up big. Now it's tied in the third, 28 apiece. And you said it's 20-10 or 21-10? 21-10 Rams, Colorado State up on New Mexico.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.